You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Peace is something God wants us to have. You know, when you think about peace, hallelujah, it only comes from God.
That's right.
It really does. You know, when you talk about peace, you think about, you know, you're on good terms with someone. Peace officers keep the peace, you know, in a community. And peace treaties, that means, you know, you're at peacetime, wartime, peacetime. But, of course, I'm talking about the peace of God that comes in your soul that God wants you to have, that only God can give, incidentally. In fact, you know, He is called the Prince of Peace, and God Himself is called the God of Peace in the New Testament several times. The God of Peace be with you. The God of Peace sanctify you, Holy Spirit, soul, and body, you know. The God of Peace, God of Peace. He is that. When someone is the God of something, and Jesus being the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6 tells us that He's the mighty God, the Counselor, you know, Prince of Peace. Then that's His domain, that's His rule. That's His territory, amen? I mean, like the Prince of Persia or the Prince of, you know, some other country. What that means is that they're the Prince of that domain. Amen. And so Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Real simple. You don't have Jesus, you don't have peace.
That's right.
Pretty simple. Because that's His domain. And that's what He rules over. And God wants you, make no mistake about it, God wants you to have peace. He comes preaching peace to you through Jesus Christ. And the turmoil that you're experiencing in your life, God does not want you to have that. In fact, you know, I'm going to be ministering on the gifts of the Spirit on Wednesday nights, but even in that, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, it says that God's not the author of confusion, but of peace.
Yes.
Isn't that right? So God's the author of peace. He's the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, in me you have peace. Woo, hallelujah.
That's right.
Peace be with you. I think about that. You know, I'm just throwing stuff out, trying to wet the whistle, get you ready, whet your appetite, as it were. You think about Paul and all of his epistles, all of them, you know, from Romans all the way to Philemon, I guess. Yeah, Philemon would be the last one. 13 epistles that he wrote. Every single one of them, he started every single one of them, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think to Timothy and Titus, he added mercy in that salute, in that greeting, you know, that he gave. So this is something that we should have in our lives. It should be something evident in our lives as Christians. If you're not experiencing it, then you need to get a hold of it. Amen?
Amen.
If you're in turmoil, it ought to lead you. It ought to guide you. You may need to make your decisions out of peace. You ought to follow peace. You ought to pursue peace. Seek peace.
Yeah.
Seek the things that make for peace. Hallelujah. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Are you really ready?
Yeah.
Ready to get blessed? Ready to learn something.
Amen.
Okay, let's go into this expecting. Amen. You know, I heard a long time ago, an expectant ear, an ear to hear, an expectant ear is just that. E-A-R, expect, anticipate, receive. So I want an ear to hear.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm coming here. I'm coming to the table with fork in hand. I am ready to eat. How about you? Amen. Okay, so let's come. Let's listen. You know, I'm listening. There's something I need to hear. See, if that anticipation, that passion, that expectancy will determine how you walk out of this place.
Right.
Not my great teaching. Oh, I are that. No. I'm nothing without Him. But not the great message, not my great presentation. I had someone tell me that one time. I was back in the back. We had some visitors. And you know, they shaking my hand. This guy comes and says, I just love your delivery. I thought, did you get anything? I mean, you know. Love your delivery. Well, that's good. I hope you appreciate the delivery. I hope I put a little sugar on so you can eat it. Makes it more palatable. You know. We do need to swallow and take this medicine because we need this stuff. Amen?
Amen.
And that's important. I understand that. But the whole point is to get this in you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And then to act it out. The end of all knowledge is action. So how are we living this thing out in our families with our wives and husbands and children and jobs and relatives? You know, how can I do this? How can I act on this? Peace, God wants you to have it. People see it in you, and they want it. And then sometimes it's not evident. But there ought to be something about you that makes people want to become a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe the peace of God is one of those things. Just the the confidence, the contentment that comes from serving God. Things are happening all around us, but we have peace. And I think ultimately, initially it comes as we are born again. It comes as we meet Jesus and are saved. Righteousness brings peace. Think about that. It makes us at peace with God. You often hear people say, you know, Westerns especially, right before they shoot them, you need to make your peace with God. Before they hang them on a gallows, you know. Make your peace with God, you know. What they're saying is get right with God. And there is a correlation there. There is a connection there between being right with God and having peace. When you're not right with God, you will not have peace. There is no peace for the wicked, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And so sometimes our turmoil comes from we're not obeying God. It comes from our disobedience.
Amen.
But if we'll get back right with God, then the peace will come.
Amen.
Peace comes in the home when we start submitting to one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yep.
Sure. In fact, there's no harmony. There's no peace. Because we're not submitting to one another. We're not right with one another. You know, you can see people and you know what? They ain't right. That's just not right. And so there's no peace. Now notice this in Isaiah. Did I tell you where it turned to?
No, sir.
Well, don't turn to Isaiah. Turn to Psalms. Okay. Psalms 85. Oh, I don't know if you're ready for this. This is maybe a little too good. I don't know. Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
Psalms 85. Wow. This to me, I just love this verse. Psalms 85, I'm going to lead up to it. Verse 7 says, "Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation." Boy, that's a good prayer. Amen. Show us your mercy and grant us your salvation. He didn't save us because we were so good. He saved us because He's merciful. We were guilty, you know. And He was merciful, and he granted us His salvation. 8th verse says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace." I like that. In fact, I think Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of good, of peace, not evil." You know, God always has peace in mind concerning us. God always wants to make peace. God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. People go to hell their own choice, their own choosing, their own rebellion. If they'll come to Jesus, they'll come to God. He's waiting, praise God. He's there to give us peace. He wants peace with you. He wants peace with you. He doesn't want to fight you. He doesn't want you to fight Him. Quit fighting God. Just come. Come make peace. Get right. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly or foolishness. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land." I love that. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. I love that. When mercy and truth get together, God's mercy forgives us. Amen? And He makes us righteous. And then what happens? It says righteousness and peace have kissed. Then peace comes, no doubt about it. You know, when you were made righteous, when you were born again, when you received the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, have not your own righteousness, but the righteousness of God which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you, that day, when you came to God and the mercy of God and the truth of God came alive and you accepted Jesus and you became the righteousness of God because He is our righteousness. Think about it. At that point, the peace of God came. In other words, I heard Jeremiah say something like this: heaven stooped down, bent over, kissed the earth, and you got caught in the middle of the smack.
God.
Get it? That's what happened. See, all of a sudden peace came. Man, I remember the peace that came over me when I got right with God. I remember the peace that came over me when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Righteousness and peace, they just go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. If a man or woman's made right, he's got peace. If you're not at peace, there's something not right.
Amen.
Isn't that true? Either it's not right in your faith, that you're not really trusting Him concerning something, because peace does come through believing.
Yes.
Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of all hope fill you with peace and joy in believing."
Mm-hmm.
In believing. Everybody say in believing.
In believing.
Okay. So if you're believing, you got peace. The only reason you wouldn't have it, peace, is because you're not quite sure. Isn't that right? So, and righteousness comes from believing. Are you tracking with me here?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Make sure we're tracking together here. And so you are a Christian. You are a believer. One of the things about being a believer, a Christian, is that you've received now the righteousness of God, not your own, but His. And you should have received peace. You need to rest in that. See, rest in God. Just like you received Him, you ought to walk in Him. Praise God. So it says here, don't you love that? Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. It's good stuff. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before Him and shall make His footsteps our pathway. Hallelujah. Well, you know, one of the benefits of being born again is the peace of God. Don't let the devil steal it from you. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you can't have it. Don't let circumstances and everybody else say you're going to have to live a life without it, because that's like saying you'd have to live without righteousness.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I got that when I got saved. I've got that by virtue of who Jesus is. Now, you know, I mean, that's in position, a matter of who I am. I am born again. I am saved. I do have His righteousness, not my own, but His. In fact, I always like to say this, and it shocks people, you know, but it's the truth if we believe the Scripture. If God were standing right here beside me, that's not sacrilegious, stay with me. If God were standing right here beside me, I as a born-again Christian, He wouldn't be any more righteous than I am, because I don't even have my righteousness, I have His.
Right.
Now see, our brain can't even wrap around that thing. That sounds almost like heresy to say that. But that is the truth of the Scripture. I'm not going to heaven on my righteousness. I'm not going on my works. I'm going on His. Hallelujah. And I don't have my righteousness. I have His righteousness.
Amen.
Or else I'm not going at all. That's why He gets all the glory. That's why He gets all the praise. And you know what? That ought to bring great peace to me, because I am now right with God. Righteousness and peace have kissed. I got caught in the middle of the smack. Got lipstick all over me. Lipstick on your collar. Gonna tell on you. Okay. That's an old one anyway. I lost everybody under 50, I think, in that one. But anyway.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah. Let me turn to Isaiah and move right on quickly here from that point. Isaiah 30, what did I say? I'm still singing that song. Isaiah 32. Turn there if you will. This helping you? I want to encourage you. How many of you believe you're saved? All right. You know, one of the benefits of that is that you have peace. And you're supposed to have peace. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In me you have peace. Woo! Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Now, obviously, we got to live that out. I know in who I am. Well, I am a saved person. I am a Christian. I am a believer. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because He made me that way. I mean, I was lost and undone, and He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what the Scripture says. I understand that. But in practice, it doesn't always work that way. In practice, I'm not always aware of it. In practice, I'm not always believing that. I'm not experiencing it. But, you know, that's my problem. That's not God's. In practice, I need to live out this righteousness. Not to be saved, but because I am saved. Are you with me? I mean, I'm righteous for what He did, but I experience the benefit of it in this life of what I do. There's a practical side to it, a fellowship, a practical side of experiencing. I could be an overcomer in Christ and have the victory in Christ and, you know, be more than a conqueror in Christ, but not experiencing it because I'm not doing anything with it. That's why, from a practical standpoint, I need to stay right with God practically in fellowship, stay from sin, because there's no peace for the wicked. If I'm going to live in wickedness, I'm not going to have peace. Because I have to live in righteousness to have peace. Y'all catching what I'm saying? We're not working for our salvation. We're not working for my righteousness. I'm working it out. I'm practicing it and living it out. Hallelujah. Working out my salvation. And why would I want to do that? Because that's the only way I'll have peace. I don't want to have peace. You're not going to have peace if you live your life bitter, skeptical, hateful, selfish, self-centered, and live in sin. You're only going to have peace as you love people, forgive people, live holy, live right. That's the only way you're going to have peace. Isn't that right? Because that's just the way God made the world. Righteousness is His domain. Peace is His domain. He rules over that. And so as you get right, praise God, peace will come. Now, in Isaiah 32, is that where I told you to turn to? Yeah, good. Isaiah 32, notice in the 15th verse, it says, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, I love that, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Man, when the Spirit comes, things change. Amen? Suddenly. Suddenly. I love that in Acts 2. It says, suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Suddenly. You know, suddenly things can change in your life.
Yes.
Suddenly you can come out of your sin. Suddenly your life can turn around. Suddenly it can happen when the Spirit's poured out on you. Then, 16th verse, justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace. Wow. Man, this is the way to live. You know, I got peace in my home because my wife is living right. Well, I am too. Are you with me? As we live right, not bragging on me, I used to be lost as a goose in a snowstorm. And by the grace of God, you know, we've got battles. We fight them. We pray. We believe. But, you know, there's peace when we serve God. There's peace because the work of righteousness is peace. There's peace when we work on our marriage. There's peace when we pray for one another. There's peace. Are you with me? When we do what's right. To get right with God is to make peace with God. Isn't that right? So if there's turmoil, then you're not right. You just need to get right and then peace will come because peace is a product of serving God, of doing right, of living right as it were. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Hallelujah, somebody. Man, I tell you, when all the kids in the house are doing what mama and daddy says to do, there is peace and there is harmony. But when they're not doing what mama says to do, and mama's not happy, well, there ain't nobody happy when mama ain't happy. Well, think about your walk with God, you know. Could it be that the turmoil you're going through, the confusion that you're dealing with, the anxiety that I just don't have any rest, don't have any... Well, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you praying for people? Are you living for God? God just wants to bless you.
Yeah.
You know, He made us. He knows how we operate. It'd be like going back to the maker of a car, and you know, He knows what button does what and what switch and what lever, and you know, makes this happen, that happen. He gives you a manual, and of course this is our manual. And we function right, we work right, and we have peace. We produce peace when we do what we're told to do in the Word. And so a lot of times we're wanting some quick fix, like for peace just to fall out of heaven. But God wants us to start fine tuning the machine. And we'll produce the peace. Righteousness will bring peace. We don't often want to do that. You know, we don't want instruction. We just want to fix. We like God to just bless us, you know. Just God, give it to me, you know. The problem with that is that you're just going to blow that just like you blew the last thing He gave you. Until He gives you wisdom. Until you adjust or fix whatever is causing this problem. You know, there's an old saying that says you can't talk your way out of a situation you behaved your way into. That's deep, and it got real quiet in here when I said that.
Amen.
So what God wants to do is instruct us and help us to live a life of peace. And I'll tell you, righteousness is the way to go. Nothing like it. There's nothing like loving your family. There's nothing like a family. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like a family. We've got a lot of kids. We've got 5 children, 15 grandchildren. And, you know, when we get together for Sunday lunch, it's about 27 of us when we get together. There's nothing like it when we're all in harmony. And there's nothing like it when we're not. It can be a nightmare, or it could be like that smack when God kisses the earth. Depends on if we're right with each other or not. You know, are you with me? How do you know that? I mean, you got relatives and brothers and sisters, daughters, mothers, sons, fathers, whatever. You know, when you're right, man, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing like that feeling. There's nothing like that peace. But when you're not, man, it's terrible. Church hurts. They're the worst hurts. You know, you come in church and it is like heaven on earth. Churches should be that way. Church ought to be a place of peace. It ought to be a place of rest. It ought to be a refuge. It ought to be a place where you can get help and you can get strength and you can get back on your feet again and find that you can make it and God loves you. And then find your place and do something for God. Hallelujah. Make a mark for Jesus before you die. It's a wonderful place church is. But when churches go sour, man, it's not heaven on earth, it's hell on earth. I didn't cuss when I said that. I mean, it really literally is. There's nothing more hateful. There's nothing more disturbing and twist your gut than being a church where people are mad at each other. Amen. Because when you have that great potential for good, the devil also knows you have that same potential for bad. Wow. That's true. I mean, a cow can be a little good, a little bad. You can't have a real bad, bad cow. You have a fence breaker maybe. You know, they're just not smart enough to be too bad or too good. A dog can be a little, you know, you can get a little meaner dog or a nicer dog or whatever, you know, but that's only so far they can go. The more gifted you are, the more intelligent you are, the more passionate you are, the more potential you have for good or for bad. That's why God wants us all saved, because we're a terror when we're not. That's why Satan is such an evil force, because he was such a great and a beautiful force before he fell.
Yes, sir. Amen.
See, he had the potential for greatness, but he also had the potential for wickedness.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better, I don't think, on the face of the earth, there's nothing greater than a marriage made in heaven. And there's nothing worse than a marriage made in hell.
Right.
Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Now, see, churches should be those. Our church is a great place. Great place to be. Got one amen on that, and I appreciate it. Who said that? Okay. Our church is a great place to be.
Yes.
Amen. Because you know you can come here and you're going to get fed. You know you're going to be loved on. You know you can be a part, and we're doing something. We're moving. We're making a difference. And we talk about the future, not the past. Hallelujah. The past is over. Amen. We address sin because it's bad and it'll hurt you, but we do it in a positive way. You can come out of it. You're better than this.
Amen.
You got more. You got Jesus. You can overcome this thing. You don't have to live that way. You can repent. God will forgive you. You can make it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Great place.
Amen.
Love being here. Peace comes from living right. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I got several scriptures I want to get to. Y'all bear with me. Yeah, I never do get through. I mean, if you'd say, a lot of people say, well, why don't you just go ahead and get through? Fine. Have you got a few days? You don't get through. You just go for a distance and you say, oh, y'all come back next week. Yeah, y'all come back, because there's so much in here. But the 17th verse says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Man, you know, when you get up in the morning, you ought to get right with God. Get up in the morning and turn that day over to God. Pray for people. Pray for those that persecute you. Pray for those you're upset with. Forgive them. I love that saying, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him, lest there be two bad men.
That's right. Amen.
Because you'll get in sin over something you didn't do, somebody did to you, and you'll get in sin over it because you won't forgive them. That's what the Bible says, enter not into another man's sin. Don't enter into the sin of someone else. If someone's sinned against you, forgive them. Pray for them. Or you're going to get in sin, just get in bitter. You ought to have heard what... I mean, do you know... Oh, come on now. You're going to have a heart attack here. Come on, man. Calm down. Pray. Yeah, but you... No. It doesn't matter what they did.
That's right.
They sin. Now, don't you sin. Getting quiet in here all of a sudden. Ooh, I touched a button there. That's good. You don't need that. Romans 5, turn there. A couple more verses, passages, and we'll... I needed this morning. How many of you want peace in your home?
Amen.
Peace in your life? Praise God. Glory to God. Well, you know what? Thank God there's some things you can do to get peace. You ought to start, first of all, start worshiping God and experiencing and taking advantage of the fact that you've been made righteous, that God has saved you. Hallelujah. That brings tremendous peace. Gives you purpose. You know, people, I've heard this over and over, and I know you have too. People live their whole lives, they don't know where they come from, they don't know why they're here, and they don't know where they're going. And here you and I are this morning, every one of us here can answer all three of those questions. We came from God. Are you with me? We're here to serve God, and we are going to heaven when we die. I know where I came from, I know why I'm here, and I know where I'm going. No matter what happens in life, I got that settled. Praise God, I am not going to hell. I'm going to live forever in heaven. Woo!
Amen.
Throw a party. This is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
The next verse says, "Save now, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now, O Lord, prosperity."
Yeah.
Praise God, I'm saved.
Amen.
Man, I'm going to look at all this as an old tale. Everything here will pass away, but I will go on and on and on and on and on and on forever and ever and ever because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I have made my peace with God. And I can face the future with courage, with faith, with boldness, with confidence. Hallelujah. Romans 5, found it? Romans 5, notice it says here in the first verse, "Therefore, having been justified by faith." Oh, that's a good one. I mean, you know, I'm not really teaching on being saved by faith, but we know that's the case. I didn't work for my salvation. Faith's not the cause of my salvation. It's the condition. It's not the cause. The cause was what Jesus did. He did it all. He gets all the glory. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Whoa. Notice the connection. Getting right with God gives you peace. Righteousness brings peace. I can remember when I was in school, when I was right, there was peace in the classroom. Which wasn't real often. But when I wasn't right, there was no peace in the classroom. I had a lady, Miss Taylor, God bless her. I was a terror in school. I did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I was very vocal, you know, and very... Bernicate, we had a class together. She hated me when we first got that class together. Wind up getting married. But, I mean, we had this... You remember Miss Taylor? Miss Taylor, oh my goodness. I got more trouble in that class for things I did, but I mean, I got more in trouble in that class just for doing things, you know, writing notes and all kinds of stuff. And she was cross-eyed. That's what was so funny. A lot of times she'd be talking to me. I didn't know she was talking to me. I'm just keeping going, you know, and she's looking right at me like this, you know, and her eyes are going this way, and I'm thinking, oh my God, she's talking to me. And, you know, I got in more trouble. There was more confusion in that class because of just not doing what the teacher said to do, not conforming. Hello.
Amen.
But boy, when we were right, it was wonderful.
Yep.
You know, that's in a classroom, at a home, or whatever the case may be. "Therefore, having been justified," made right. That's what that means, made righteous. Same Greek word translated righteousness. Justified, often been said, just if I'd never sinned. That's a good way to look at it. To be justified is just if I'd never sinned. Been made right. Hallelujah. "Justified by faith, we have peace with God, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Did you know you can access this grace by faith? You by faith got saved. Well, by faith you can access this grace. By faith you can get this peace. Peace comes from believing. It comes from trusting. It comes from knowing that God's going to come through, that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. That it may not look good, it may not look right, it may not feel good, feel right, but God said thus and so, and I'm going to trust God, and I got peace. Peace in the storm, peace in the dark. I got peace because I know God's Word is true. I trust Him. I have faith. Faith brings peace. Amen. I'm right with Him. He will not forsake me. He will not leave me. Hallelujah. He said He would not fail me. Woo. Peace. Righteousness and peace. In fact, look at the 14th chapter of Romans. Romans 14. A couple more. We'll wrap this up. I always hate it when preachers say, I got one more thing I want to say. And then they go, I got one more thing I want to say. So I always say, I got a couple more things I want to say. That way I can always just keep adding to that one, you know. So Romans 14, notice what it says here. 17th verse, well-known scripture. I quoted this already. But it says, 17th verse, for the kingdom of God is not meat or drink or eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Listen, you are in the kingdom of God now. You are a Christian now. Peace is the rule of the day, okay? Peace is what God does. It's what this kingdom is. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him beat you down. Don't let him run over you. Don't let him bamboozle you, thinking you're going to have to live in turmoil and confusion. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. God has come that we might have peace. He has come to make peace with us. I am a Christian. I have been made right with God. Therefore, peace is one of those benefits. It is the work of that righteousness. It is the result of that being right with God. Now, from a practical standpoint, I'm going to live out this holiness. I'm going to live out this righteousness. I'm going to live this thing out, and I'm going to have peace. And if you'll listen to God, you will have peace. If you'll obey God, you will have peace. Yeah. If you do what He says, you will have peace. You will not have rest until you do. That's true of a calling. That's true in just daily forgiving one another, praying for one another, living right. Last one, for sure. This is it. Isaiah 48. Turn there. Isaiah 48. I got to get to this one. Woo! Man. You want to live a life of peace? I do. Well, what I need to do? I need to find out what God wants me to do and do it. It's not complicated. Man, I just need some peace. All right, get in the Bible and start doing what God says to do. Isn't that right? Isn't that what He says? Okay, you know, come out of your sin. Quit living for yourself. Start living for God. And peace will come. See, peace is in Him. It's not something He can offer you outside of Him. He can't give you something separate from Himself that is only in Himself. So what you really need is more of Him. And the more you get right with Him, the more this peace comes, because peace is in Him. He's the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Isaiah 48. I love this. I love this. Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. Listen to this. Isaiah 48. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, which teacheth you to profit. Amen. Who leads you by the way that you should go. This is fascinating, because God really does teach us to profit. He doesn't lead us into poverty. He leads us out of poverty. Yes. He didn't lead us into temptation. He leads us out of temptation. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're going through a tough time. It's no sin to go through a tough time, but I think it's a sin to want to stay there. It's not, sure not a sin to be sick, but I think it's a sin to want to stay sick. Yes. It's not a sin to be poor, but it's a sin to want to stay poor. Right. It's not a sin to be defeated. We live through life, we get defeated, we get sucker punched, knocked down, but it sure is a sin to want to stay defeated. Right. You catch what I'm saying? Yeah. People get twisted. You can't condemn people because of poverty, condemn people because of sickness, condemn people because, my Lord, that happens to everybody, because of sin or whatever. We don't condemn, but the condemnation comes when we ourselves decide we're going to live in that and not let God deliver us and help us and bless us and bring us out of that. Right. Jesus said, give to the poor. He didn't say leave them alone. Yeah. Don't leave them poor. Help them. Yeah. Lay hands on the sick. He didn't say leave them sick. Right. Are you with me? So there's a point where maybe you fall on hard times. It may not be your fault. It may just be the world we live in. It could have been the devil. It could be your fault. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, you better do your best to get out of it. You need to cry out to God and let Him help you. Don't you stay in that sin. Don't you stay in that poverty. Don't you stay in that sickness. Don't you stay in that depression. See, that's where we have mercy on people in need. But then we have enough mercy and enough love for them that we tell them how to come out of that. and that they can come out. Listen, when I'm down, I don't want you to just pat me on the back. And people about ready to jump off a bridge don't need somebody to jump off with them.
That's right. Amen.
They need somebody to tell them they can live and they got a reason to live and they don't have to jump off the bridge.
Yeah, that's right.
And somebody down needs someone to put their hand out and pick them up and help them. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, so he says this. He says, thus says the Lord your God, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, that teacheth you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened or heeded my commandments.
Yeah.
Then your peace would have been like a river. Mm-mm. And your righteousness like the waves of the sea.
Yeah.
Now think about that. Where would that peace come from? Just listening to God and doing what He says to do. Hearkening to His commandments. It would be like an ever-flowing thing, not just a once in a while, you know, a magic wand, God just ding, bing, and you get it one time and then it's gone. No, an ever-flowing river of peace will come from doing God's Word. If you'll live your life living for God, hearkening to His commandments, then like a river, your peace will be like a river. And your righteousness will be like the waves of the sea, just one wave after another, hallelujah. And a river that's just ever-flowing. When the world is just going crazy, you got peace. Because you're doing what's right. You're right with God. Amen?
Amen?
Righteousness will kiss peace, and you'll get caught in the middle of the smack. Woo!
Amen.